Are we ready?
So Ken, would you like to see me up here as well?
No, I'm fine, I can just.
Okay.
Maybe not that far.
So, we can probably keep this short, but I have a substitute to what Council President Newby was introducing, and this is not in any way a criticism of what the Council President wanted to accomplish by any means, and it's just something I think might be a little shorter, but encapsulate everything he's trying to capture. And so I want to make sure I preface that, because I know the Council President has worked with General Counsel, he's worked with the Sheriff's Office, and so I want to preface everything I say with that. But his bill goes into a good number of different types of behavior that, you know, might not be appropriate or wouldn't be appropriate, I don't think, at a council meeting. Maybe dancing and singing occasionally if something great happens, but but I think the idea is to make sure that the that the council is has the council president has control over any type of exposure that or disruption that might handles that might happen. So so I'll start on line 29. This is part of the council president's amendment, if I'm not mistaken. Peggy, John, you can correct me. It says any person who disrupts a council meeting may be forthwith barred, removed, or otherwise ejected in the discretion of the presiding officer from further attendance at that meeting. If necessary, due to the nature of the disruption, the audience may be cleared from the council chambers or meeting location in the discretion of the presiding officer. Then what I added here was, furthermore, the presiding officer shall expect audience members and speakers to conduct themselves with civility and refrain from threatening behavior or language, and the presiding officer shall exercise his slash her discretion based upon this expectation. And then his language picks back up and says the presiding officer may call upon the sergeant of arms to enforce directions given by the presiding officer to address violations of this. And then I just included expected decorum. And I just am throwing that out because of his original bill has so many different things in it. I mean, what if we left something out? I don't know. I'm just throwing this out as an alternative, which might be a little simpler. I was not a rules committee, but I, my council aide, I think, watched rules committee, or anyway, I picked up where there was quite a bit of discussion. And so that's why I was wanting, you know, Councilmember Newby, and I wanted Councilmember Freeman to be here as well, because he'll be inheriting this new rule. And if this is not, if my attempt to shorten but keep the same expectations as what is in his bill is not going to give the sheriff's office or the general counsel's office the tools necessary, then I won't even bother putting it forth. But actually, I really, if you get down to my base, I really feel like the first lines 20 through 28 is pretty inclusive. But I didn't suggest doing anything with that except leaving it as the council president wanted. So, you know, John or Peggy, do y'all have any comments that you'd like to put forth? And I don't want to put y'all on a bad spot.
Sure.
Because
this is great. So a couple of things. I think you were on the rules committee last year. It was either last year or the year before, where we had everyone assigned a rule. And the rule was then brought forth to the Rules Committee, and sometimes the Rules Committee said, yeah, we like that change that you're suggesting. And then there were other times when the Rules Committee members couldn't agree or just said no, and it was left the same. So I want to say this to talk about this particular rule. So this is a rule that's currently existing. You can see what's existing in the council rules presently, 4.505, because it's what's been stricken. At the Rules Committee on Tuesday, there were a number of people who said, okay, listing everything out, then what about the stuff you don't list? And of course, that was addressed. And whenever we do a rule, we always want to make sure that it is legally defensive, that it's legal and legally defensible. And so what we'll guard against, and I'm sure John will talk about this if he's afforded the opportunity, is, you know, we don't want anything that's overly broad or vague. And that's what we'll have to defend for the council when or if this were ever brought mm-hmm. To bear in a court of law. So there's a balancing act. There's the one side to make sure that everyone understands what the rules are and what the standards are. And then there's the other side that, you know, you don't want to list everything and so on. So that was the debate, a little bit of the debate that took place at the Rules Committee the other day. And then also just the legal standard. And if, you know, as I mentioned initially, if this rule that the council president put forth is not, you know, if you'd like to come up with a substitute, we certainly would work with you on, you know, on the legal elements to make sure that we're getting it more in line with what your intent is. And so I will just give that by way of background. And okay. If you wanted to ask sure. Mr. Phillips anything, that'd be great.
Yeah, and I'll throw one other thing out. If you think all of these... Because that was my read is when I saw all of these different things listed, it begged the question, well, what did we leave out? And if we need to leave those things in, it might be well to still put in the language that I have that kind of covers just about anything else that can happen, which is threatening behavior. Because that's the concern, I think, and I appreciate the council president, you know, wanting to keep decorum and wanting to make sure everybody's protected like that. And so I've always given the council president high marks for that. What do you think, John?
Well, I think maybe the best way for me to answer your question is to cut to the chase.
Sure.
Of what I think and then tell you why I think that.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
Right,
I'm a big boy. I'm going to get bigger on Saturday.
So the language that you've added, the sentence on page 2 with...
Furthermore,
mm-hmm. up to upon this expectation, perfectly fine. I think actually that would be a good addition to the current draft.
Everything in red there, you mean, or just...
Let me see if I have it in red.
Here, I'll give you mine.
There you go.
Yes, I have it. So Everything in that one sentence in red is I don't have any problem with it all. I actually think that it's not a bad idea. I think it's a good idea. I think I'd prefer to leave rule in place rather than expected decorum.
Okay.
And then I think it would be my preference at least, and I'll tell you why. To leave the specific list in. So the reason that we were asked to do this is because it was felt that the previous rule might be a little vague.
Mm-hmm.
And the modern trend in the First Amendment jurisprudence is the way things are going is that there are lots of things that are getting thrown out because they're overbroad or vague. And in fact, there's a 11th Circuit case that just came out on April Fool's Day and it was a slightly different context, but it was a fire department's social media policy and what two firefighters could say or do, and they ended up suing and winning because the 11th Circuit said that the policy was unconstitutionally overbroad. And what the policy said is that it prohibited what could reasonably be interpreted as having an adverse effect upon fire rescue, morale, discipline, operations, the safety of staff, or perception of the public. So they had a policy that was basically simple, but the 11th Circuit felt that doesn't give people notice of what is prohibited. And so to get around the possibility of, and of course, let me back up and say, of course, there's no way to ever guarantee that somebody won't sue over this, but to get around the possibility that people would say, this is just too vague. You can't just say, well, I mean, what's civility? What's disruption of a meeting? So by describing the behaviors that include disruption of a meeting, you're giving people specific notice that if you do these things, you could be asked to leave the meeting. And, of course, as you pointed out earlier, dancing and singing could be appropriate under certain circumstances. That's why it's tied directly to impeding the orderly progress of the meeting.
Well, and his discretion, too, or her discretion.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes clapping is fine because you're applauding, you know, somebody getting an award.
Yeah.
But other times people start clapping to keep y'all from talking.
Yes, sir. Well, my so maybe to sum it up then, and that's why I thought, you know, you might want to that those specific behaviors were probably put in there, and so I have no problem with that. My only problem is what did we leave out, and I thought perhaps the language that we put in, and maybe we just do this by amendment, might help cover anything else that might have been left out.
And I can tell you where these came from. This list is a combination of things that make it more specific about certain things that have disrupted meetings in the past that weren't specifically prohibited.
Right.
So that we're now addressing those specific behaviors to make sure that they're not repeated. And the other parts of it are all from other 11th Circuit cases where they've upheld restrictions by the chair for doing what's there. So, for example, the political campaigning thing, there's an 11th Circuit case right on point that where a guy got thrown out of a meeting because he came to speak at public comment wearing a campaign T-shirt for an ongoing election.
You're kidding. Something like that would ever happen?
Yeah, exactly. So so that way this people know you can't do that. You can't come to a meeting while you're talking about, you know, an ordinance you're about to pass and start talking about whether, you know, the president should be reelected or not. And then we also drafted them in a way that's specifically to meet the requirements of the case law that prohibit viewpoint discrimination. So you can regulate content based upon you can't talk about this subject in general, but you can't regulate content based upon the viewpoint. So, for example, it would be if somebody came to the mic and advocated for not voting for Joe Biden, and that was okay, and then somebody followed that speaker advocating for voting for Joe Biden, and then that guy got kicked out for politicking, that would be a violation. But this is content neutral. It just says you can't campaign, about anything.
Yeah. Well, so let me ask you this. I think the language that we've put together, and I understand the taking out decorum and putting back in rule, but just the language from, I guess, on page 2, line 2, where it says, furthermore, it runs through line 6 and then adds a little bit to line 8. Should we propose that? Would that be better proposed as an amendment to the bill?
I think the answer to that is yes, but I'd certainly defer to Peggy.
Okay.
Yes. We can just prepare it. I mean, you don't need to do a substitute. I mean, okay. In either regard, but I'd be happy to just prepare it as an amendment to the bill.
Okay.
And then I'm assuming you'd be there to.
I think it just throws a little bigger blanket on it, but I understand the specifics as well. Sure. So that's all I wanted to do, and when I looked at it, I just wanted to make sure we covered the what perhaps might have been left out, because I've understood there's been some things done at council meetings that really it's hard to describe in a particular way, and I just think it's awful, but that's the world we live in today,
And from the presiding officer's point of view in those circumstances.
Let me say one other thing.
Oh, sure.
One of the things that I heard happen was threatening.
Yes, and that's why I think that what you've added in lines 2 through 6 is a good thing. We talk about threatening in the specific list, but it doesn't hurt to reinforce the idea that threatening behavior is completely unacceptable.
Okay, Peggy, can you you can put that together? That might be your last amendment. I don't know.
I don't know. I'd be happy to do that. I'll get that ready for you and circulate it.
Thank you very much. Okay. Well, we have a couple of speakers, and is there anything else, Peggy or John, that you have for me? I think Sherry, is that everything that you think we were trying to do? And I know that there's things happening. That shouldn't be happening, and I know it from personal experience, and I am concerned about some of these things that we're trying to address. We have a speaker's card for 3 minutes from Stanley Scott, and then we have one from Carnell Oliver.
Stanley Scott with the African American Economic Recovery Think Tank. My address is on file. I'm a little confused with the information that y'all are the changes that y'all are making. I've been going on a little over 30 years. We talking about everything but ethics. Ethics apply to city council members. It applies to everybody in the room. I'm a little disappointed here because y'all talking about disruption, but y'all the problem. It caused a lot of this disruption in this city. My main concern here that when it comes to city council, you're breaking the law because y'all keep talking about address everybody at the council. But the First Amendment, long as I'm not slandering anyone, I can call out a city council member name. When did the law change? When did the federal law change concerning that? But you see, the council, we decided to give y'all allow that to happen, but no longer. Since y'all want to start changing the rules because y'all want to dictate the law the way y'all want to, we have the right to call our city council members by their name, I mean by their position. And I have a problem with that because every time someone come up and call out a city council, y'all got a problem with that. Y'all are the ones breaking the law. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Scott. Appreciate you being here today. Mr. Carnell Oliver.
Yes, Colonel Oliver, address is on file. I think when I look at it, I'm just trying to get a good feel for Council President's bill, but I'm also looking at the amendment. And one of the things that I've heard is rules versus discretionary authority. I do recognize that dealing with discretionary is a double-edged sword, and it's the fox guarding the hen house. When I look at the amendment underneath the amended substitute, line 15, one of the rules, making vulgar and offensive remarks, gestures, is too broad. That needs to be broken down to what you consider vulgar and offensive. Anybody having a conversation, if it's not sweet talk based and it's raw in the cut, somebody could use that authority as council president to their best advantage. So for me, dealing with rule 6 on line 15 needs to be broadened out and a little bit more technical to give clear understanding of what offensive or vulgar language is. That's one of the key issues with me at this point in time as I look at this legislation. And as I go through, like, impending the progress underneath line 7, rule 2, impending the orderly process of a meeting by shouting, yelling, whistling, or anything of that nature. Is that going to – I see that it's still underneath rules, but I think that certain things need to be stripped out and given discretionary ability, because it may give some positive sense. Just like really putting stuff like cheering, stuff like that as a rule, holding everybody to the same standards. I believe that you need to have some flexibility with that. And everything else I can live with, but it's just really line 15 that I'm most concerned about. And I'm a little bit skeptical about line 7, rule 2. These are my two things that really are the biggest concern to me. And if y'all could break that down, be more technical. Because I understand that in some instances, I got a council president right now that I'm butting heads right now, and he's trying to protect Terrence Freeman. Because of the simple fact is that I continue to challenge power. And I hold people accountable for those seats.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Oliver. To our wonderful security officer, Ken, do you have anything you'd like to add? Okay.
These are the tools that we needed to enforce the quorum from a law enforcement perspective.
Yes, sir.
Whenever, you know, the planning officer decides we need to take action, it gets clarity, and that's what we needed if we have to do any type of enforcement action, just like a state statute or municipal ordinance.
Right.
It's definitely the tool we needed.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you. And I always have a little bit of interest in any changes in council rules, because my dear old dad wrote these rules almost 50 years ago. He wrote the council rules. But there's always need for change, and I appreciate the work that the general counsel's put in, and appreciate your comments. So I'll propose my amendment just as a way to perhaps give it an umbrella of other type things. And so with that said, I guess our meeting is adjourned. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.